Well, good morning, everyone. This is a very strange situation we all find ourselves in because of the coronavirus outbreak and the restrictions that have been placed on meeting together. And so we can't meet together as a church in one building for the foreseeable future. So instead, we've made this a pre-recording available for people to use together. We're still a church. And we still want to honour God's day. We still want to worship and pray and read God's word and seek to understand it. So we're going to do it as best we can. We're just going to have to be a little more imaginative. And so today is Wednesday, actually, when I make this recording, 18th of March. And the idea is that this will be up on the website and available perhaps on CD as well for those who can't access that to use on this coming Sunday. And so we're going to read and pray on this recording. So if you want to as well, find some things to sing, find some music on YouTube or on some MP3 recording or a CD or whatever that you have. It'd be good to sing, or find a hymn book and sing some words together as an individual, as a couple, as a family. As we worship God, just in our separate homes, and it'd be good to do that. Perhaps a strange advantage as well in a recording like this is you can pause it when you want to, and so you could pause it and reflect upon various things. You know, sing something. You know, reflect upon something. Perhaps ask your children if you're doing it together as a family, and try and get them to understand what's being talked about and so on. So let's just be imaginative and try and make use of this strange situation that God has put us in for now. So let's pray together. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her at break of dawn. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we do thank you, our loving Heavenly Father, that you are our refuge and our strength. And Lord, we come to you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we know that you're in control of all things, even this strange situation that we find ourselves in now, even this virus that is spreading through much of the world and Europe and this country. Lord, we do come before you and come before your throne of grace. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus who lived here, who experienced the same sort of flesh and blood as us, just without sin. And we thank you that he can sympathize with us. And we thank you that he was without sin, that he died for us, that he would free us from the fear of death by rising again. And so, Lord, we thank you. We do pray that we would turn to you in this time of trouble. We want to especially pray for any of our fellowship who are suffering at the moment. We know at the moment there's a couple who are suffering with virus-like symptoms, and we just pray that you would give them your peace, we pray. We ask that if it's your will that you may give them a speedy recovery. Again, we ask that you may preserve us, again, if that's your will, especially those of our church family who are more elderly or have weaker health. Lord, we ask if it's your will that you may preserve them and keep them safe, we ask, and bless them, we ask. Lord, we want to pray for our community. We see so many people who are afraid. There's some panic buying in the shops, and people who are worried, people who are in self-isolation and the like. Lord, we do ask that you may make known your peace at this time, we pray. That you'd bless those who are in need and suffering. Lord, we do want to pray for our nation. We do pray that you'd bless the government, bless our Prime Minister as he makes his these daily updates at the moment. We do pray for the the scientific advisers and those who understand something of this public health, trying to keep the people safe in that and try and prevent the too much spreading of this virus. Lord, you do pray that you give them wisdom, that they may make sensible decisions for the good of people. We do pray for those who are working hard in the most difficult situations, in schools, especially in hospitals, and in many shops too. Lord, we just pray that you would help this country, we pray. And perhaps in this time of distress and worry, that people might turn to you, we ask. Lord, we deserve nothing from you, but Lord, we pray that you may be merciful, we ask. And Lord, we pray that at this time that you might pour out your Holy Spirit, that people might turn to you, we pray. And Lord, we do thank you for the city of God. We thank you for, in some ways, that pictures the church, that even though we can't meet together, Lord, we thank you that we do still have each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We do pray that we still may be able to show love and concern and compassion to each other. And Lord, that you would bless us, we pray. Lord, we do pray that you may help us. Help your people, we pray. And draw near to us, we ask. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to read this morning from John chapter 12. Be good to read that together. You can turn it up in your Bible if you want. You can always read it aloud with me as I read these verses. It's John chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 31. Let's hear God's word. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say, 'The Son of Man must be lifted up'? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and departed, and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So if you want to look up a hymn to sing or something like that, perhaps one suggestion is the hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour." It's quite a well-known hymn written by a lady, Annie Sherwood Hanks was her name when she was born. And she was born 200 years ago. And even from a very early age, she wrote poems. She lived in New York. And when she was 30, she wrote this hymn. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee. And she wrote it, she said, actually, in a different situation to most people think. Most people think it's quite a sad hymn or reflects upon our need for the Lord Jesus when we're in sadness. But actually, she wrote it on a, she said, a bright, hot, sunny June summer's day. And I was actually so happy. And I had a real sense of God being near me. And I wondered how anyone could possibly live without him, in joy or in pain. And these words, I need thee every hour, flashed into her mind. And sitting there by an open window, she felt that on wings of love, these words just rolled off her pen onto the paper as she reflected upon how wonderful it was to know Jesus so close. And so she wrote it. A friend of hers wrote the tune for it. And it was added for quite a famous hymn. The evangelistic team of D.L. Moody and Sankey would go around singing this, so it became quite a famous hymn as well. And she said later on, she said he didn't really understand why people so loved the hymn. It was only later, when she was under the shadow of great loss, that she realised something of the comforting words that she'd written in a time of happiness could also bring great comfort when there was sadness. And so perhaps reflect upon that hymn, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Whether we're in times of great happiness or great sadness, we can draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask God to bless us as we study his word together. Dear Lord God, it's those words of that hymn, I need thee every hour. And Lord, we do so much need you in the happy times of life and in the sadness too. Lord, we do pray that you would draw near to each one of us. And Lord, we pray that you would draw near to us as we seek to understand your word. Although we're in different houses, maybe spread miles apart from each other, Lord, we pray that you would deal with us so gently this morning and graciously by your Holy Spirit, that in spite of the fact that we can't meet together in one room as one building as a church of your people, that still you would move amongst us by your Holy Spirit and teach us from your word, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at those words in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And I've given it the title this morning, Responding to the Light. That's the first theme we're going to think about, responding to the light. When I was an optician, that was one of the things you used to have to check. When you had a patient sitting down in front of you, you'd check what they could see and so on. But one of the things you wanted to check was whether they had a proper response to light. So you had a little pen torch, and you'd put it up quite close to their face, just shine it in each eye in turn and check their pupils reacted properly. It's a sign that the nerve pathways in the brain are all working properly. It can be done as well on somebody who's unconscious. I've never done it, but if someone was unconscious, still breathing, but not reacting to anything else, just sort of collapsed on the floor or something like that, a doctor or a paramedic or a nurse could shine a little light in their eyes and see if their pupils were still responding to light. And that would tell you how bad the problem was, whether some of the nerves at least were still working, the brain was still functioning on that level. You see, there's the way we need to respond to the light. And Jesus seems to pick up that theme in these verses. Look at verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light. That's the first thing John wants to highlight. We need to believe in the light. He says again in verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. It's, of course, a little bit of an echo of the more famous version in John chapter 8 and verse 12 that Jesus spoke some time before. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light is necessary, isn't it, for life? A world with no light would be a dead world, wouldn't it? And Jesus has come as a light into the world so that we wouldn't abide in darkness. Naturally, we live in darkness and in sin, but now light has come. Light has come into the world. And John highlights a couple of the things how we know that truth about Jesus. Again, another quite famous verse in John's Gospel, John chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shines. How do we know we should put our faith in the Lord Jesus? Well, because he's the light of the world. How do we know he's the light of the world? Because he shines. He shines in the darkness. He's different. Yes, he's like us in every way, but then he's different. He shines, showing us that he's the one who's come from God, that he is the Son of God. And so in this passage, John hints at those miracles. Verse 37, he talks about these signs that Jesus had done before them. John's told us quite a few in his gospel, plenty more in the others too. The evidence of the light of the world, because Jesus shines. He shines with glory. He shines with power that only God himself could do these things. In sort of classical eras of painting and so on, people were fond of, well, Europeans, it seems, were quite fond of painting photos of Jesus. And they always seemed to paint him with a very white face and blue eyes and a chunky sort of beam of light going round his head, a halo. Now, of course, that's pretty daft, really. Jesus didn't look at all like that. He would have looked like a Jewish man, for starters, probably with dark hair, fairly dark skin, and dark brown eyes, perhaps, too. And he certainly did not have a halo round his head. We're told in the Bible, categorically, there was nothing in Jesus' appearance that would have attracted people to him. But all the same, Jesus did shine, didn't he? When there were 5,000 people who were hungry and grumpy, Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He shone, didn't he, there on that hillside in Galilee. When there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee and the experienced sailors and fishermen were petrified, Jesus calmed the storm with a word. He shone, didn't he? And most recently, in a graveyard, that place of sorrow and death and anguish of people's experiences, Jesus stood there in front of an open grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Jesus shone. The light shines in the darkness. I've come as a light into the world, says Jesus, verse 46. And we can see that light in the things that Jesus did. Another thing John highlights a little bit of is the same is true in Jesus' words. Verse 49, I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Jesus came not only to do these amazing miracles, but to speak these words of life, he says. He'd come to bring these words of life, words of light. He says, totally in submission to his Father, he would say what his Father had instructed him to do. And Jesus was able to share that command of everlasting life. It was a command that's given to him, it seems. Perhaps that he would Well, definitely that he would give its everlasting life to those who believed in him. But the command he would pass on, that everyone should believe in him and receive everlasting life. A command to us to believe him. And that through his death, hinted at the beginning verses, when he said, "Now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw peoples to myself." He was talking about his death, that there, by dying on the cross, he would be that light. He was lifted up, as Jesus was saying in another place, like a light, so that people from all over the world, from every different nation, could come and put their trust in him. He came to save the world, he says, end of verse 47. He also wants to quite strongly remind us of the unity that there was between Father and Son. A couple of times in the passage it mentions those who didn't believe, like in verse 37, there were those who didn't believe, and in verse 42 there were those who did believe but weren't really prepared to confess him, so they're sort of sitting on the fence a bit. And perhaps there was a bit of confusion in people's minds whether they were really meant to trust in Jesus. For these Jews, of course, brought up knowing the Old Testament back to front, they were used to the Old Testament, of course, telling people to trust in God. "In the Lord I put my trust, he's my rock and my redeemer." You know, loads and loads of times it would be there, to trust in God. And now Jesus came along saying trust in him. So perhaps there were some people who were a bit confused about those two things. But Jesus unites the two. Verse 44, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." So the two of us are united, Father and Son. To believe in Jesus is to believe in God. To believe in the Son is to believe in the Father. The two are totally united. Verse 45, "He who sees me sees him who sent me." And again, that hints at another quite famous verse, John chapter 1, verse 18. "No one has ever seen God, have they? But the only begotten Son, who's in the bosom of the Father, he's declared him, he's shown him. He who's seen me, the light, has seen the Father, has seen God." And that's what Jesus wants us to reflect upon. Imagine a ship out at sea, totally pitch black out there, and the ship is just sailing along or chugging along with its engines or what have you. And then in the distance they see a little pinprick of light just flashing out over the horizon. It's a lighthouse. And that little speck of light, as it grows, as they get closer to it and so on, is what they need to navigate, to get safely home. And we are those who, because of our sin and our disobedience, because of being part of this fallen human race, we are those in the dark. And yet this lighthouse is flashing light towards us. We need to look at Jesus, look at the light, believe in the light. And John has set it out for us in his gospel. There's the evidence for it. There are the signs, the miracles that Jesus has done. There are the words he shares of everlasting life. There's the total unity that everything we know about God, from the Old Testament, for example, all of that's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He is the Son of God. He shows us God himself. And so we're called to believe in the light, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that through that he'll rescue us from darkness. He'll rescue us from that darkness that we're naturally in. He'll save us, he says. He came to save the world, to save us from our sins. If we repent of them, if we confess our sins, he's come to save us from judgment. Again, lots of that in those verses, verse 48, he talks about the judgment that there will be on the last day. He'll save us from that if we believe in him. That's that punishment that we deserve. And yet Jesus came, he tells us, end of verse 47, to save the world, to save sinners. Are we those who've responded to the light? As we see this flash of light from the Lord Jesus, who shines with glory, are we those who've responded properly to that. And this is a good opportunity, isn't it? Perhaps in the concern that people have and the worries about the future and awareness of how fragile our human lives are. Now's the time to believe in the light. Perhaps you're one of those who is self-isolating at the moment, or perhaps you're going to have to do it in the next few weeks. Well, hopefully you're not going to be too poorly. Maybe you're just having to be isolated to prevent, you know, as a precaution. Maybe that's the perfect opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity that God gives to read the whole of John, perhaps, to read one of the other Gospels, to look at the light, to examine the evidence, look at the miracles, look at the words of the Lord Jesus, look at the glory that he shows, look at the saving work that he does on the cross. Maybe having an enforced 2 weeks at home gives us a rare opportunity to really think about the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps in a way you've never done before. Second little thing as we respond to the light is we need to be children of the light. Again in verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. We need to be children of the light. As we believe in the Lord Jesus, we become children of light. We're changed. God changes us. Before that, we abided in the darkness. But now we've been brought into the light. We've been brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Paul will say later on. We've been freed. We've been saved. We're given everlasting life. We're given life that will not end. Life in this world, life to the fullness. And then life to come when this one ends. We've been rescued from our sins. We've been forgiven from every wrongdoing. And we've become children of the light. Jesus uses the same phrase that he uses about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. And then he turns to his disciples, well, in Matthew it's recorded, and he says, you are the light of the world. And so we too are lights. Lights that have been recreated by the Lord Jesus. Now we're that new creation of him. We are the light of the world too. We're children of the light. And perhaps again, that's another healthy reminder at this sort of time. At the beginning of the First World War, I can't remember who it was, but somebody quite famous had this phrase, look, the lights are going out all over Europe and they'll not be lit again in our lifetime. As the First World War began to unfold, people were aware of this dark pit that they were heading into. Lights are going out all over Europe. And the fear and despondency that people faced. And perhaps in some way, people are experiencing something similar now with this outbreak. All over Europe, the lights are going out. All over Europe, there's increasing restrictions and travel bans, shortages of food. There are many people in need of medical attention, hospitals that are running scarce of supplies and enough intensive care beds and the like. Perhaps people are feeling, you know, we're heading into a dark pit. Perhaps some are feeling very depressed and very down at this moment, very anxious. Perhaps even in small things, lots of our little pleasures are now much more difficult, aren't they? We love to go on a holiday or go to the pub or go to a restaurant, go to the theatre. You know, all of these things are restricted. All of our little pleasures that bring some happiness to our life, lots of them have been restricted, haven't they? And perhaps we will think, oh, life is getting darker. All of these things we used to enjoy, perhaps we can't do temporarily at least. Perhaps we reflect upon the so much bad news there seems to be around the world. Perhaps it seems to us that the world is getting darker. Or maybe if that's a true sort of perception of things, isn't now the perfect opportunity for Christians to shine brighter. We're the people of hope, aren't we? It tells us that we don't, in the New Testament, we don't grieve like those in the world who have no hope. Well, similarly, we don't panic buy like the rest of the world that has no hope. We don't get all anxious and completely worried about these things like the world does, because they have no hope. Now's the time, isn't it, to shine as children of the light. To show that, perhaps in a world that is, where people are depressed and anxious and suffering, maybe it's a God-given time for us to shine as his children. Third little thing that links to responding to the light. We're told to walk in the light. Back in verse 35, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light. The point of that is sort of an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus, isn't it? We're meant to be journeying with Jesus. I wonder if you've ever been out for a walk in the dark with other people. And perhaps there's not enough torches to go round. Well, how are you going to make your way safely on that journey? Is by sticking close to the person who's got the torch, isn't it? And if you're walking through a dark woods and there's the chap with the torch, but he's 20 metres in front of you, that's going to be no help to you, is it? You're going to fall over flat on your face. You've got to be next to the person with the light, haven't you? And so it is on our journey through life. We need to stick close to Jesus. He's the light of the world. If we're lagging far, far back and growing distant from him, we're going to stumble so much, aren't we? Just in that hymn, you know, I need thee every hour. We need to be close to Jesus. And perhaps that's one of those things, again, that we might be made aware of at this time. When situations are more challenging, perhaps it can help us as Christians, perhaps when we are prevented from going to work and prevented from doing all these things that we normally cram our lives with. But if thinking, hang on a minute, how's my spiritual life? And perhaps if we honestly reflect on it, we might think, actually, I don't think I'm as close to Jesus as I should be, perhaps as I used to be. Perhaps that's something that we can reflect upon at this time. I want to be closer to Jesus. I want to walk in the light, journey with Jesus, be really close to him. And then what a comfort that is when things are difficult. Even in difficulty and suffering, none of us know how things are going to pan out in this country and for us individually. Maybe some of us will get very ill with this virus. Maybe we'll be suffering great pain and discomfort, great fever and temperature and the like, and a sore throat and chest and a coughing and all the rest. Perhaps there'll be some of us who are really, really suffering with some of those physical symptoms. We'll walk in the light, be close to the Lord Jesus. For David, who wrote that most famous psalm, he said, you know, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid. And who knows what the days ahead may bring for any of us. But we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the light of the world's with us, even in the darkest valley. Perhaps if we are suffering, perhaps if we are thinking we're coming to an end of our life even, maybe. To know that comfort, we don't need to be afraid, for the light of the world is with us. We're walking in the light, walking with Jesus, until we're going to be with him forever. And what a comfort it is to know that, to walk in the light, even in dark places. Well, the second thing, I don't know, it's only brief. The second theme in these verses, of course, is not just to talk about the light, but to talk about the darkness. And Jesus has this other theme that comes across several times in it, that darkness is coming. Darkness is coming. There in verse 35, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know
where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Darkness is coming is his other big theme in this passage. And that's literally true, because Jesus himself is not going to be around much longer. Time is ticking away. Jesus is only going to be alive for another day or two before he heads to the cross. It literally is getting that close. And so Jesus says to these followers, just a little while longer the light is here. He's only going to be there. This is probably one of the last public times that Jesus spoke to people. From chapter 13 onward, Jesus is just with his disciples. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to rise again, but still mostly just appear to his disciples and followers afterwards. For some of the Jews listening to Jesus this day, in John 12, this is their last chance to hear Jesus speak. The light has come into the world, he says, verse 46. Jesus has come in. He was the Son of God. He always existed beforehand. Now he's come into the world, and he's going to go. He's going to go again. And John talks about those more, verse 37, those who saw all these signs but did not believe. And again in verse 42, that there were those who did believe, but because they were afraid of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him. There were those who were sitting on the fence, those who were umming and ahhing about it, perhaps sort of intellectually convinced that, yes, Jesus probably was the Messiah and the Son of God and the light, but had they really put their trust in him? They weren't prepared to nail their colours to the mast. They weren't prepared to follow him, really. Just sort of hesitating and holding back. Well, Jesus wants to tell them, time's running out. Now's the time. Now you've got the light. And so it is for us. I wonder if you ever had that experience of being aware that time was running out. Perhaps this idea of things getting darker. A year ago, me and Rachel went canoeing on Lake Windermere in February in the afternoon. And it was a fairly nice day, but of course in February it gets dark pretty quickly. And so I think it was probably about 3 o'clock or 3:30, something like that. But it was starting to get dark. And we were canoeing back to where we'd set out from. But the wind was getting a bit stronger. Tiny little waves, nothing too much to worry about, but it was harder work. It was harder work paddling, and you're aware of time running out. It was getting darker. Almost you could feel it every few minutes. It was a step darker in the air, in the sky and the like. And you sort of felt quite under pressure about it. Well, time is running out. It's getting darker. Like somebody's dimming the lights, turning it down. One of those dials. And so it is for us. Darkness is coming. And we could think about that in various ways. We could think about that in terms of our own lives. We don't know how long our lives will last. Especially when there's a virus around. People talking, aren't they, about this hidden enemy, this unseen enemy that's around. Boris Johnson was warning about people who are going to lose their lives. We don't often really talk frankly about that. That life is short. That darkness is coming. And we don't know when it's going to come. When our life will come to an end. Thinking too about the world. None of us know how long the world will last either before Jesus comes again. And we've got to respond now. Verse 37, there were those who don't believe. Well, believe in the light. And there were those, verse 42, who kind of did believe, but didn't want to confess him. And again, that encouragement to be children of the light, to walk in the light. Maybe there's some things like that are holding us back. Perhaps those who aren't really Christians need to think about that. Are you believing in the Lord Jesus? Are you hesitating? Perhaps deep down, perhaps you do believe, but you're afraid of your friends at school, or afraid of non-Christian family members. Not really convinced you really want to follow him because you know that that'll mean difficulties, and that'll mean it might be hard obeying him and walking with him. And yet we're told here, aren't we, that we've got to do it while the light is here. And so that's what we need to do too, isn't it? Jesus also warns us in these verses that there are those with hard hearts. Verse 40, he's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Well, there are those who, they're hardened by God. They also harden their own hearts. Often the two go together. Think of Pharaoh in the Old Testament, who was refusing to listen to Moses and refusing to notice the miracles and so on. We're told that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and God hardened his heart too. And so there can be that. As if we don't respond to Jesus, we harden our hearts. And actually it becomes harder and harder to respond to him. But Jesus came to save people. Told in verse 47, he came to save the world. He's not coming to judge quite now. He'd come to save the world, to die on the cross. And now is the day of salvation. Now there is a throne of grace. Jesus says, I came to save the world. An open offer that anyone who wants can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the light, to become a child of the light, to walk in the light. And as we think of that darkness that is coming, when we think about the fact that time is running out, that all of us are a day closer to the end of our lives than we were yesterday, and we don't know how many more days there are to come. Darkness is coming. The day of judgment is coming too. And we're told now to turn to Jesus. He's the light. There is light today. There is an opportunity today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because none of us know what the future is going to hold. Today's a day of salvation, but in the end, there'll be the day of judgment instead. At the minute, we can come to a throne of grace. But Revelation tells us in the end, there'll be set up a throne of judgment. And so we've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ now. We've got to be made right with him now and seek his forgiveness now. That's what he says in verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I've spoken will judge him in the last day. There will be judgment. There will be a last day when it's too late. And Jesus' words will judge us. Because Jesus said, believe in me. And if we reject it, That is the judgment. That's the verdict. We rejected that offer of salvation. And so as Jesus talks here of the light and the darkness, we need to be those who respond properly to the light. So darkness is coming. What should we do? Believe in the light. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Repent of our sins. Turn to him. Look at the evidence, look at his words, look at how he reveals God to us. Believe in the light. Darkness is coming. We need to be children of light. We need to reach out. We need to shine like stars in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. We need to be the people of hope for those who are lost in the darkness. We need to be the light of the world too. And lastly, darkness is coming, so we need to walk in the light. None of us know what the future holds, but we do know that we need to stay close to Jesus. We need to journey on with him, and then we don't need to be afraid of anything. Let's respond now to Jesus, who came to save the world. For today's a day of salvation. Today there is a throne of grace that we can come to. Let's just pray to finish.
Dear Lord Jesus, we do thank you for coming into this world, the light of the world. For Lord, we are in a world of darkness, of sin and fear and death. Perhaps people feel it all the more at this time, as people are anxious and afraid, perhaps very fearful. There are those who are suffering, those who are frightened. Lord, we thank you for the light of the world. We thank you that today there's still light, that today is a day of salvation. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit that you might move anyone who's listening to this to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Soften their heart. Show them that evidence, Lord. Move them that they may believe in the Lord Jesus. Lord, we think about that. Lord, we pray that we might be those who walk in the light. Lord, we pray that you would help us to stay close to you, whatever the future holds, and help us to be children of the light. Help us to reach out to those around us. Help us to show compassion to our neighbours and those around us in this difficult time, we pray. And Lord, we pray that you may be at work, that in spite of this difficulty that people are experiencing at the moment, that it might be a day of salvation indeed in Ashbourne and in our country and around the world. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.